Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus also says, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. And Peter says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. It is no secret, Christians, that the Christian life is filled with troubles. As Paul says, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And faced with those crosses, it is so very easy for us who are still in this flesh to grow weary and to lose heart. Who, after all, can endure? But God knows our weakness. God knows that we are flesh. And God knows that on our own we would not be able to stand. And that is why God strengthens us. God lifts us up so that we can endure all of these things. He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit to pray with us when we can't find the words. And he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit to lead us on the right way when we would otherwise lose heart. God does not leave us on our own to struggle in the dark, but he leads us on the way toward glory. And God also gives us strength and courage by showing us what is to come. He gives us a glimpse of the glory that will be ours at the end of all things, so that through all the things that we suffer as Christians, we can keep our eyes fixed on the end and know that our troubles will end and give way to something far greater than anything we can even imagine. That's what John is doing in our epistle reading from Revelation. He's giving us a picture of eternity so that we have something to look forward to. And having something to look forward to, knowing where we're going, we can keep pushing on the way. Because Christians, there are times when we feel that God is far away. There are such as times when we are surrounded by evil, or times when our struggles just seem to be too great, and we wonder if we're ever going to find relief. In times like that, it leads us to cry out, how long, O Lord, how long, and where are you in the midst of all of our grief? But John shows us that in the age to come, there will be no temple in the heavenly city. And there will be no temple because there will be no need of one. We won't need to go somewhere in order to find God. Rather, John says, God will be the temple. God will be throughout his entire creation, so that we are no longer separated from him. And we will dwell in his presence for eternity. Even if God seems far away now, Christians, he promises that he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And nothing will ever be able to take us away from him. And of course, there are times when we as Christians are overwhelmed by evil, when we as Christians are grieved by the brokenness of this world. Every day the news tells us about some horrible thing that has happened, some terrible sin, to the point that we are just sort of numb to it all. It just seems to be the way things are. And yet, despite that numbness, we long to be free. Free from evil, free from sin, free from all the horrible things that happen in this world. How long will the wicked prosper, O Lord? How long will people abuse one another? When will it come to an end? And yet John shows us that in the age to come, in the heavenly city, the gates of the city will stand open, because there will be no longer a need to close them, no longer a need to protect against anything. All evil will be gone. All darkness will pass away, and everything unclean will be no more, so that everything evil will disappear in the light of God's endless day. And Christians, there are times when we long for something better, a better place, a better world. We often think back to the good old days when we think things were better, even if they weren't. There is a longing in our hearts that looks for something different than what we now have. And we know within our hearts that it's out there somewhere, even if we're not really quite sure where. But John tells us in our reading that in the heavenly city there is a shining river. And on both sides of that river stands the tree of life, the very same tree that Adam and Eve were prohibited from eating from in the Garden of Eden, the tree of eternal life. In other words, that city will be the Garden of Eden restored. It will be that better place. It will be that better time. And it will be a place where we are no longer homesick. The heavenly Eden will be better than the earthly one ever was, because the tree of life will bear its fruit every single month. It will be like an endless harvest, an endless thanksgiving, one that will go on forever and ever. And that will be our eternal home. What a joy to know that something better waits for us, that everything that we have lost will be restored. And not only restored, but also improved. Our glorious home waits for us with God. But in reality, Christians, these things are only metaphors. They're only pictures. John is not literally describing to us what heaven is going to be like. He's only using these pictures and words that we can understand to give us a vision of what is to come. Because how can we, as sinful creatures, understand what it means to stand in God's presence? Well, we can think of it like not having a temple, because God's light will be everywhere, that God will shine like the sun. And how can we, as sinful creatures, understand what it's going to be like to have evil gone forever? Well, we can understand it as a gate which never has to be closed. And how can we, as sinful creatures, understand what it's like to not feel like there's something better out there? Well, describing eternity like our home that provides for all of our needs helps us to understand. After all, these things are not literal. Heaven does not have gates. God uses these pictures to help us see. Because how can we begin to understand what we have not yet seen? How can we begin to understand what is far, far greater than anything in this world? These pictures are a foretaste of what is to come. But for those of us who struggle here on earth, there is one thing that John says that is not a metaphor. One thing that he says that is not a pale picture of what is to come. Rather, it is the very heart of our joy. He says in verse 4, they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And what a day that will be, Christians, when we will no longer walk by faith, but by sight, when God will no longer have to hide from us, when we will see God in all of his glory, in all of his beauty, in all of his perfection, in all of his majesty. We will see our Creator in all his power, and we will see Jesus in all his love, to stand before him in righteousness and in purity forever. And with our glorified and resurrected physical eyes, we will see God. I can't even begin to describe such a glorious thing as that, because nothing on earth will ever come close. It will be a joy beyond comparing. And that's what waits for you, Christians. God himself waits at the end. So run. Run the race that is set before you. Do not grow weary. Do not waver. God has made you his own. Run knowing that you will see him face to face. And run knowing that no matter what you lose now, you will see God. And what could be greater than that? Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, lead us to forget what lies behind and to strain forward to what lies ahead, because you have promised that we will see you face to face in the age to come. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.